Okay, we're starting. Yep.
It is 5:15, and we do have a quorum, and I am going to call the Finance Committee / full council meeting to order for purposes of voting. This will be the Finance Committee's vote with that, but the full council is in attendance. We do have to change one thing on the agenda, and that is item number 3 needs to be an action item, and we will be looking for a motion to approve the preliminary levy if we get that far. So that will be an action item. But before we start, we'll go around the table just to let everyone know who is here. Audrey Nelson.
Rick Vagerly.
Andrew Plowman.
Julie Osmus.
Vicki Davis.
Sean Meske.
Fernando Alvarado.
Brian Grimmins.
Steve Okins.
All right. Thank you very much. We do not have anyone here to speak to public comment, and so we will move on to item number 3, which is a discussion action item to review the mayor's proposed 2020 budget. And I have asked our administrator to take us away in kind of a format to review this with that. And I think we'll just start there.
All right. Well, thank you. You know, obviously this budget has started a long time ago through the department head's creation of their needs for 2020 based off 2019 activities and then prior years, so that they have a good understanding of what is anticipated in 2020. There's a few things that have come up that are kind of extra in addition to normal operations, and we'll be talking about them. And I think most everybody knows that the local option sales tax activities are you know, one of those. And I think we all know that we received a presentation by the mayor on his proposed budget, and it is now in the hands of finance to review that and answer, and hopefully staff here can answer any questions you might have, so that you can feel comfortable with the numbers and the direction it's going. Again, in the end, we're going to have some sort of recommendation to the City Council to set a preliminary levy so that on the 30th, staff will come back here and email it to the county so we meet the 30th deadline. We are probably going to make it by 5 or 6 hours at least, so that's a good thing. But like all things, these things do take time, and like I started out saying, there's been a lot of time and effort put into it, and it's probably going to get, you know, the bulk of the discussion of the intricate details will likely happen after October 1st as we go through, when this, you know, finance and city council members, you know, if they're interested in really understanding how specific parts of the budget work, you know, i.e., how is the local option sales tax going to work in 2020 and future years? How does our street funding work? So you may want to know more about state aid formula. How does that impact? And you can get it in deep as far as you want to on these subjects, and we'll try and answer them the best we can. So what we thought we'd do is start out is with a high level and then drill down, you know, as the questions pop up. And so we've got some, you know, just, you know, if you look at it as a triangle, we'll hit the top and go through that information. And then if there's questions, then we'll go to the next phase and we'll try and fine tune our answers to your questions. And then if we have enough time to, you know, to get down in to where you really have some detailed questions, we'll try and do that. But I think given we have like about an hour and plus, we probably should get started. So with that, Steve, why don't you probably kick this thing off? And
yeah.
And then I personally think that any time you have a question,
Just interrupt.
Interrupt. We don't have time to be wasting raising hands. I think we just need to kind of move along, given our timetable.
And some of this may be repetitious for those finance committee members that were here at our last meeting, because we did briefly go through some of these summary pages, and that's what I hope to do today for even for the council members that maybe weren't at that meeting. But and we also have a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that the mayor presented. We've added one slide to that. We did not have that with the agenda, and that would be what kind of effect would it have on a residential home as far as the tax levy goes. And we also have a spreadsheet that I believe was sent out to everybody, kind of a historical history of our tax levy and the local government aid. So with that, the general operating fund, again, is a, kind of a catch-all fund for all activities that present or past councils haven't designated and restricted for a specific purpose. And so the totals for the general operating, again, we're estimating at $17.5 million in revenues. We are, mayor's proposing to use $1.7 million of fund balance reserves. That primarily consists of the excess from 2018 and prior years of about $840,000. And then due to council action to abandon or disband the early retirement program, that is about $870,000. So those are the two primarily items that make up that 1.7. With that, we're projecting to spend $19.2 million. Of that, $1.7 million is primarily for capital reserves or capital transfer out of the general operating. To break down the revenues of that $17.5 million a little more, the sheet would go into our current ad valorem, which is the property taxes, is what we're asking you to consider tonight to set a preliminary levy. And again, once that levy is set and certified to the county auditor, it can be reduced, but it cannot be increased. This is the number he uses to notify all the citizens on their truth and taxation notice. They get it. What their property taxes are proposed to be in 2020. And their property taxes not only consist of this city portion, but it also will consist of the county, school district, and other taxing jurisdictions. This would be, the city's portion is about 26 cents out of every dollar they pay in property taxes. Proposed a new item that the mayor put in, and it has been proposed in past years, not in 19, but in past years, is a gas franchise fee. The gas franchise fee is estimated to raise about $245,000. That is about the level that has been in previous years projected in conversations with the gas company.
So when you say gas franchise, who are we targeting?
It would be Centerpoint Energy. And that is primarily for their use of the city street right-of-ways. So if they go in and they have their services in the city's right-of-way, this would be a charge to them, to the Centerpoint Energy. It would not be to citizens. Now, they could pass it along, but this would be to Centerpoint Energy.
Okay.
And why is that doubling?
It's brand new. The other half of that is the cable franchise fee that is charged to the cable company for, and that is goes toward funding the RAC 8 program. Mm-hmm. So yeah, instead of just the franchise fee for the cable, the natural gas center point is being proposed.
So before we go on, I think this is an item. I think that we in. Previous years, we've had discussions about it. The council has not chosen to do that. It is not something that happens automatically. There is a process that has to be gone through for an ordinance and some other kinds of things to do this. So I think the awareness that the mayor has put this in there is what we need to accomplish tonight. And that I did ask the question today, is this something that can even be accomplished before the end of the year? If the council decides to do that, and I think Mr. Grawitz indicated that it probably can be done, but there is a formal process that needs to take place with that. And so that I think is just an awareness for us, that this is something that the council is going to have to make a decision on separate from the levy, and to take a look at with that. So, Mr. Palman.
Thank you. Expected revenue approximately $245,000. Is there an approximate cost per connection in the city?
I don't remember. We have that in file. We don't have that for you tonight, but we certainly can provide that.
Do they do? Is it a cost per meter?
It's a cost per meter. From what I understand, the past discussion. I will verify that, though. I don't remember what. That was a total that we had looked at before, and we haven't got the cost per customer. I don't remember what those were, but we'll provide that.
Any other questions regarding that at this time?
I would just estimate it. This is a thumbnail, wild guess, but it's probably in that $4 area.
The $5 is what I kind of remember it being.
I'm going to say that there's 5,000 customers and 245,000 divided by that by 12 months of the year.
Yeah,
that's
gets
you at $4. So $4 or $5.
I got 48 bucks a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Roughly.
Yep.
Yeah. It's based on 5,800 units.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
We'll verify that. Don't worry about that, Joe.
Is this a standard? This is for Brian, I guess. Other communities our size, regional communities, is this a thing that is used by them? Is it unusual not to do it, or is it unusual to do it?
No, if you go back 10 years ago, it was unusual to do. But if you, well, probably a little bit more than 10 years ago, maybe like 12 years ago was more unusual. So looking at this sheet, you'll see 2009, you'll see levy limits put on. The crunch came, cities had to do and fund their operation, and they gravitated towards franchise fees as one of those things. So it's a relatively new phenomenon for gas and electric, but it's almost been there forever for cable TV, like from day one. Day one, there's always been a franchise fee for cable, but gas and electric were always not tapped. And then in places, you know, like Wilmer here, where you have a municipal electric, it sets up a kind of, well, we're going to franchise fee the gas, but we're really not franchise feeing the electric. But if there were two gas companies here and you did one and not the other, that would be a problem. So I don't know that this is a problem per se, but it's a revenue stream that 15, 20 years ago, nobody thought much about except for cable TV. And even metro cities are doing this now. It's not something that is rural or metro. It's if you don't have money, this is one of those things that you would consider. So, not good, not bad, just...
It's there. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, it'll be a difficult question for you to answer here, but I would assume that almost every one of those companies will pass that franchise fee off to their customers. And so we're talking about some substantial additions to the taxpayer, and in light of a lot of other things, local option sales tax, the utilities, so on. We'll let this go for now. It's in the budget, and you want to save those discussions for later. But this is just one more thing that I'm looking at overarching for this budget and all of the other things that are going on, that I have a lukewarm reception to it at this point, but I understand it's here.
Can I also just throw in my view of it is, unlike other revenue sources that are variable, this is a flat, essentially a flat tax. So it's the same dollar fee per hookup, and it does not matter.
It
doesn't matter what hookup it is, so it will affect different households differently.
Just a minute. Was the door unlocked, Vicki, or is it locked?
It's unlocked.
It's unlocked.
Yeah,
okay, so. Good. Okay.
Anyways, that ends my...
I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, and I think on that tone, I mean, we were having a discussion earlier about, you know, regressive taxes, progressive taxes, and those are philosophical discussions. One, you know, is flat and one is not, and you blend them together and you say, well, that's as good as it gets, probably. But you're right, you know, this is a new one. Some will see the franchise fee is just another tax. You know, a rose is a rose by any other name kind of thing. So, and others will say, well, it's a fee. You know, by definition, you know. So that's up to the council to decide how they want to, you know, address the kind of tax.
This is one I think that we need to come back and talk about, so we'll mark that as a discussion item for future. And yes, go ahead.
Well, if you're doing the marking of things you want to come back to,
yes,
on the first page where we're spending those additional dollars in those closed accounts, such as the piece we talked about with the retirement pieces going into that 1.7, that'd be something I'd want to come back to
okay.
at some other date as well.
All right. Got it.
In the capital transfers?
Yes.
And just for my notes, one was the early retirement, and what was the other part?
The fund balance from 2000.
Leftover, okay.
Yes.
17?
18 in prior 18. Years, yeah. Primarily 18.
Wouldn't it be 17? Because don't we keep no. 2 years?
No, it's 18.
18 okay. and 19.
It's the excess dollars from 18 get rolled into 20. The 17 was used and appropriated in the 19. You
okay.
see the 1.48. 600,000 of that was the spend down of the emergency reserves. 848 was the carryover from previous years. That's been a practice that the council has used for many years, is that anything that has not been designated is given to the mayor as available to be appropriated.
Stephen, when they do that, typically they take the entire reserve that was left and put that into the budget and utilize the whole thing?
That has been practice of the past, yes.
Okay.
It's not necessarily required, but that has been a practice. So cities at one point used to be criticized for having too big of fund balances and not having them designated, and that's when that practice kind of started, is so that if they weren't designated for something, then they were being appropriated and not building a reserve, whereas the city of Willmar actually has got that emergency reserve that was reduced last year to cover that type of action.
Okay. So when we get to the CIP, it's really only 2019 things that haven't been done. We won't be going back to 18 because the 18 money has been taken and put into the budget for 20. Yes?
18 unspent dollars for projects that were not finished. You're kind of mixing and matching the general operating reserves and
okay.
the capital.
All right. Thank you. Now I'm good.
Okay. There's a charter right. requirement yeah. on the capital side, and I can explain that when we talk about the capital if you want, rather than confusing the two. The operating revenues are the ones that, by practice, have always been made available to the mayor at the end of the year. So.
Okay, so we have requests for that one and a request on the franchise fee. Before we move on, Mr. Oakens had tried to get us information on other communities, on what their levies and the latest thing that's available is 2 years old.
Yes.
So a question whether you want that. We were trying to wait to see if the current information would be available. So.
We've been working with the League of Minnesota Cities, who gets their information from the Department of Revenue. In comparative cities, the city has always had, there's 19 regional centers that the League of Minnesota Cities categorizes, and we've always presented comparative numbers a lot of times in the budget process. And that information, the current information or updated information, is not available. The Department of Revenue is going through computer upgrades, and so the league is going to notify us as soon as that is available, so we can provide that if that's what the committee and council wants.
But we weren't sure that two-year-old information. We've already looked at that before. If you decide that's something you want, we can do that.
Back to the revenue slide there, you'll see that licenses and permits, we're projecting that to be up, and that's based on the historical trend of construction going on in the community, both commercial, industrial, and residential. You'll see the historical amount there is in the $550,000 range, so we bumped that up. We project that that's going to continue. We have the industrial park, which has capacity. We have the commercial in the southeast part of the community that has capacity. We have the apartment complexes that are coming in and projects that are kind of online. So we don't see that dropping in 2020. So that's why that's the primary big increase for that revenue of $100,000. The aids, we have a number of other aids outside of local government aid. We have a police department aid, which covers some of the training and those types of things. We have a highway aid of about $300,000 that makes up a good chunk of that. The city gets up to 25% of our state aid for highways that we allocate in here for maintenance. The other 75% is then allocated towards the construction side. You'll see here a slight decrease in the projections for fines and forfeits, and that's again based on historical history of where we're at on that. They're just not receiving that activity. Miscellaneous revenue there, the big increase that we're projecting there is on interest earnings. Even though that rates have kind of been bouncing around, and we see maybe a projection of decreases in the Fed fund rates, we anticipate that that's going to bounce back based on the latest conversations, and so we project an increase there. That's the biggest increase. Other financing sources is primarily the intergovernmental transfer from the municipal utilities. And that's always been looked upon as kind of a return on investment. Some people refer to it as a payment in lieu of taxes. It's not calculated on that. It's not based on their value of their assets. And that's usually what a payment in lieu of taxes is based on. If it was a private utility, what would they be paying in taxes? That has not been how it's calculated. It's always been a negotiated kind of return on investment. That's been flat for the past few years.
Where is the hospital?
The hospital is in the miscellaneous revenue category now. It used to be down in the other financing sources, but with the lease now, it got reclassified from an intergovernmental since it's no longer coming from a component unit. It's coming from a private lease, and that's at 300, and it goes up a maximum of 3%, so that would be like 309,000 in that total. They're capped at 3% or whatever the levy goes up this way that lease is written. And that is not the, that's just the payment to the city. The lease for the base lease is for the debt service. And that's shown in a slide further on under debt service, which we did not account for before. That was in the PowerPoint presentation. You'll remember there was a note, and that was a bullet point. Because of the lease and the reclassification, we now account for the debt where the hospital had it in their numbers before. That was, I think, about $3.5 million. And so that's why the total overall basically is going from 40-some million to 60-some million.
Did you talk about service charges?
Service charges, I did not.
Trying to remember what's in there.
Basically, sanding for public works, any kind of equipment rental. The primary ones are park and recreational orientated, civic center, aquatic center, any kind of rec programs. Yep, those types of programs.
And that looks like just a readjustment to reality. 750 was low compared to the other years, and so we brought it back up to...
Again, historical trends drive a lot of the numbers. And then we have discussions about, is that just a trend, or is that, as Brian said, kind of a reality, any kind of major changes? So.
Any questions on this summary of revenue before we move on?
Again, in for those council members that have gotten copies, paper copies, they get even further into detail, and those are also out on the Dropbox. If you want to know on like the service charges, how much is the Civic Center generating, how much is the Aquatic Center generating, they're in detail, and they're both out there on the Dropbox, on the city website, and for those that wanted paper copies, it goes that far into detail.
And I think one of the questions that came up since I've been here was how, because in a council meeting, how much revenue do we get off the auditorium gun range? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's in there too.
Yep. And the answer is about $4,500. Yep. Compared to the cost, it's quite high.
One of the items that you'll find in the detail that was broken out this year from the ice rental is that the Warhawks and the Curling Club were separate line items were created for those two because of leases, and so that they could be looked at similar to what the Stingers lease on the ball fields were. So you'll see that, I think in an email that was sent out, you'll see a reduction in ice rental, but that's just offset by those two line items being broken out. So.
Any other questions?
So where's home medical and race care center? Is that included in the hospital?
That is all included in the hospital under the miscellaneous revenues as far as rents go. Yeah, the race care, home medical, and the hospital are all under Caris Health. Yeah. The city still owns the properties. And the debt and the lease covers the debt and the rental of the properties, including home medical in Redwood Falls.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Otherwise, we'll move on.
The next page basically then breaks down the expenditures by the, and you may, for those that have a paper copy, have to jump to a section past the revenue detail. But this breaks down the expenditures by department. Some of the major changes here you'll see is the city administrator, there was an increase in professional services, and I don't know if Brian wants to talk to that or not, but that's the major contributing factor of why that one is larger.
Right. The discussion just basically followed like this. We went through the numbers, and we plugged everything in there, and we ended up with roughly $159,000. And something that we had talked about was, given the local option sales tax, the projects, and all the activities that go on in the city of Wilmer, is there enough money in administration to fund, you know, say, an assistant city administrator or somebody to do ebb and flow these projects as they go through the pipeline? And they said, well, it doesn't have to be an employee. It could actually be a contract person. It could be a consultant. It could be whatever. So we just kind of put that number there without a defined use other than a concept. Now, we decide, as a council decides, well, that money's going to be freed up and it's going to be used somewhere else, that's totally fine. But it's part of the discussion. Most, and I'll just say, most communities the size of Wilmer typically would have an assistant city administrator. And where that comes into play is, let's say somebody retires or takes another job, the assistant could then become the planning and development director for 6 months while that position gets filled. They can take the city administrator position while that position is getting filled. It's a very flexible type of position. And so that's the mayor and I had discussions about that. And at the very end, we kind of went like, okay, let's just put that here, more of a holding spot for it, and let the city council decide, you know, what you want to do with it. If you want to do something with it in that line item or you want to move it somewhere else, that's fine. But it was just kind of a recognition that the staffing is probably lower than when I look at the city of Wilmer, the staffing is quite low. Now, we've got engineering back up to speed. We got the police department up to speed, and now they're needing to fill a few holes. You know, so this is always a continuous sort of thing. But from an organizational perspective, I would have guessed with as much that's going on in Wilmer that there would have been an assistant. So that's why it's in there.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. What was included in that in past years that isn't being included? I mean, it's obviously a cost of $159. Okay, I can get that. So 2018 actual $376, what was included? Because obviously there was other things besides.
Human resources was broken out starting in 2019. You'll see down there, human resources position was included prior to that position.
Got it. That makes more sense.
Go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to say, I think you might want to mark this one as needing more conversation.
Yep.
And just because I was rifling through pages, where what was the assistant possibility for? The
city administrator.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what office we would put him or her in.
The new city hall.
But I'm just saying.
In the old days, the city clerk was considered to be the assistant.
So did and then assistant. And then you changed the city clerk position around. By default, I'm going to tell you.
I was there in the old days.
The public works director or the city engineer. Is in essence in Wilmer is the default because that's who I'm going to. You know, there's who else would I go to?
Bruce Peterson, community development.
Yeah,
he always took it over.
But yeah, I mean, if you have a system of backing it up, that's all I'm saying. If you have a system, cool. But we got new community development. We've got literally. You know, I don't want to speak about it, but some people may leave their position, and I would say in 2 years your organization is going to look a whole lot different than it does now.
We, if I may, a few years ago we did start a process and received a draft of an organizational structure. And I think some of the things that are in here, and even looking at if we were to do some succession planning, that it probably merits us coming back to that type of approach to decide how that structure should be. We had that conversation, I think, even when we hired the city engineer about public works, there's a lot of people who report to the engineer. Is that the best use of an engineer? To be the management kinds of things. And so I think there are some things for us to come back. In addition to the concern that I have when we look at local option sales tax dollars is how much can we handle? We need to hire a new administrator. We've got local option sales tax projects. How are we going to handle that with staff? So it is one that I was requesting additional information, but I do think it needs additional conversations about a variety of things underneath that.
Right. And that's why you'll see that this wasn't identified as a new position. It was an identification that there may be a need for help. And we didn't know where to put the money other than let's just put it here for now and let the council decide how that will play out.
I think the other thing that would be helpful there is for us to address salary ranges also. I mean, when we talk about a new city administrator and those types of things, too, to take a look at that one, too. So I think there's a lot of things under that one. Should we be? We'll save this for later.
We certainly can. It's entirely up to.
You're going to be getting a document. There was a request from a council member to address any items that were over $20,000. And so I think what I'd like to do is just let us walk through that, and then we do have a document to share that can be handed out also with that. So, is that okay? Or do you want it now? Nobody's speaking. We're going on.
Does it help explain anything? Or?
Some of the items that we're going through here are on there, a lot of the items.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Yeah. We'll pass it out. I do have one question. Yes, go ahead. How come elections are so much?
In 2020, there's an election year. Mm-hmm. It is not, it's basically goes in cyclical. I believe it's every other year.
Yeah, but 2 years
it's
ago.
A census. And they it's are, a census.
Oh, it's the census.
And a majority of it, there's an equipment, and you'll see that on this list here, too. There's also new election machines that are being synced through.
We had grant money available. Sorry.
We're not paying the full cost, but there is an item in there of about $33,000 that the county and the city will have to pay for new machines. So.
Thank you.
Yep. You'll see most of the items are flat, so the only items that I'm really going to touch on are those that are in a larger percentage. Finance, the discussion there is there was another position, an accounting clerk position requested and inserted at this point for that. The elections, as Vicki was asking, is an election year with the census plus the capital cost for sharing on some of the machines. Are the contributing factors there. Non-departmental, the major item there is the personnel issues that are being addressed, as well as the health insurance, additional health insurance, that have been unresolved at this point.
Update, they did reduce our increase by 2%, so from 34.5% down to 32.5% increase for this coming year. It's something.
There you go. It's going like, in the right direction.
Well, you are an optimist.
It's
aren't
like
you?
$34,000 or something like that. I mean, I'm just saying.
So I would request just, I think we have to do a review of new positions, but also that the non departmental figure.
I would echo that. The finance position, that was approved by council, is that correct?
No, this is just in the budget. Okay. There was nothing to labor similar to the assistant fire chief in that there was already a job description for accounting clerks. We have two accounting clerks. This is a request for a third accounting clerk. That would have been the reason why maybe labor didn't take action or look at a new job description.
Yeah, we created a new job description for the deputy fire chief because there was nothing there. Yeah.
So overall in this budget, there is an accounting clerk position, additional accounting clerk position, the assistant fire chief position, two intern positions, one in human resources and one in planning, which are in addition to the 19 budget.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
I know this is the opportunity when you do a budget. Is this a typical time to bring forth the new positions and include them in the budget versus going through the committee structure and having it happen organically? I suppose there's not a placeholder for them to go in. Is that
no. There's no funding, but I mean that would take a budgetary amendment along with a request if that was done outside of the budgeting process.
Right.
It maybe has been done in the past.
Yeah.
That's how you get excess dollars at the end of the year. You didn't hire people. So.
Yeah, I understand that.
You bring up a good point, though, but one of the questions that I asked, and I know we have with wages, we've got a couple things that we need to be looking at, but my question is, why would we put that money in the budget? Why would we not leave it in the cash balances to be available if we have to do some pay equity or some other things versus putting it in the budget, in essence, basically is putting it out there that we're going to spend it. So that's a question for me, but that's one that I want to come back and I need to understand more about some of those other figures. So.
Yeah, I suppose they probably think it's a placeholder for that particular need, but my question will be, what are the assumptions that go into the generation of that $2 million figure for non-departmental?
There is, outside of the items that we just talked about, there is a lot of refunds and reimbursements and revenue neutral type in the miscellaneous side of the revenue side. Example would be you'll see a reduction in some of those, and that's primarily now that Rice Hospital isn't here. The money for Rice Hospital and municipal utilities for insurances, workman's comp, those types of things, all came through the city as the primary government and then went back to the hospital and utilities. So that would be another big portion of that. But we can certainly, there's a detail of that.
Is that in our books?
That is is on the website, on the Dropbox, in the detail. But those are the primary things that...
That's an incredible increase. And I'm just curious of what it...
The increase is basically 100% attributable to the two items that we talked about on the labor issues.
Right. And say what those were again.
The health insurance projections that we had at the time we were putting the numbers together, and any unresolved personnel discussion that I haven't been involved
in. Yes, I understand.
All right.
Was that the comp worth study?
No.
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 Okay.
No.
We do not have our pay equity report yet, right? Or am I not referring to it?
Pay equity came back. We're good.
Okay.
So that's not that.
So no.
Okay.
But it wasn't the primary reason for that. That was the compensation study.
But we were waiting, so we did get pay equity,
until
and
we got pay
not
equity,
have
and now we can
pay equity.
Now we can restart okay. that conversation.
Okay, all right. More to come on that one.
Okay. I just got a question. On
yes, go ahead. Hand.
So that extra person for your office, Steve,
mm-hmm.
isn't that new software supposed to have helped, or isn't that up and running yet?
It's not up and running yet. It will be time, so the paper copies or paper timesheets won't have to be entered. So in the processing of payroll and everything will still be in our present software. We're still working with the software company to see if their payroll module will fit into our financial and budgeting. There is not a community in the state of Minnesota or county that has this payroll module from this company. And so being the first one is somewhat...
Is it more of a private?
It's more of a private than public? Yeah, it's not in the government sector.
That's what I heard.
The only one that really has the timekeeping is Rochester as far as the time sheet, time management. And so, but they convert it into a different payroll module that they have, and so
we really aren't saving any time or money then.
There will be some time savings in regards to filling out the paper and doing that type of stuff, and then we hope to have where employees can access some of that information electronically. We won't have to issue right now we electronically deposit into their accounts, but we still issue them a check stub. That won't have to be done.
If you add it all up, you know, in totality, there will be savings of paper and time and all that stuff. But if you sat and said on each one action, employment action, you know, what are you shaving off? 3 cents a paper, you know, for a piece of paper. Two seconds of time. I don't know, but when we're done, it should be easier. And should be better than the old process. Now, that's always the promise. And I think we're a little bit behind on the implementation. We just got some stuff in from Steve's office just this week, and we kicked it out. So, I mean, you know, I wish we were doing it a month ago, but that's not the real world.
What did we spend on that? Do you remember? $60,000?
So much per module. The time management module that we've implemented is like $6,000 annually. I'm not sure what the HR portion is, but there's different things. In the HR portion especially is where the savings is coming as far as being able to track applicants, having them apply online and those types of things. I think is more of where the savings are is in the HR area, not in the payroll side.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of extra stuff that's going to be coming up in finance that we've had the discussion on is, you know, we absorbed all the investment activity, all the capital projects with the local option sales tax projects that are coming, monitoring and evaluating the contracts and tracking the projects is where a lot of the time will be. Yeah. But I have here, you know, positions as an item.
Okay. Public safety?
You'll see there that at a police department budget, I just want to mention this, it's not a large percentage, and one might ask why, but when you take a number of senior officers that are at the top of the pay scale with probably family coverage and replace them with newer officers at the low end of the pay scale with probably single coverage, those are the things that we looked at, and that's basic explanation of why that's not as larger than that. Now, that all these departments will be affected when the health insurance is reallocated to the departments based on the personnel in there. So that non-departmental, now that we have some firm numbers, will be a process where we can go back and redistribute the health insurance costs to the various departments, and those numbers will all change. And so that'll be one of the items that we need to talk about as far as the process of when that happens, when the changes come forth back to the council. Ooh. Adjustments.
Can we get a lump sum estimate based off from that, or is that still a work in progress?
The lump sum that we had estimated at the 34% was in the $500,000 range.
Okay, thank you.
So then the $2 million will go down, and you'll see all the other departments will pop up.
And if the council remembers, we kind of scrambled at the end of last year when some of the groups decided to stay with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we had to have a number of different departmental adjustments to cover that cost. At this point, this will be just the one department. The non-departmental funds will go and just go back into all the departments based on the number of personnel they have in their department and what coverages they have. I really have no more comments on that page unless there's some questions.
Just fire protection, that was the assistant chief position.
Yep, that's a new position.
Correct.
On the second page, we go into the cultural and recreational sides. You'll see a number of changes there, and that's just with the reorganization of Park and Rec. Conversations with the recreational director is they're still sorting through being located at the Civic Center. Do you charge those costs to Park and Rec, or do you charge it to Civic Center or Aquatic Center or Community Center? And so these are based on his recommendations of where he feels the cost should go and be allocated. You'll see a large decrease in the Park and Rec, and that was, again, primarily to the conversion from community education and recreation over to Park and Rec and distributing some of those other costs in the other areas. So those are the primary comments I have. Auditorium, large decrease, and that's due to the timing. On they replace the blocks in the gun range every other year, I believe it is, or every third year. I don't remember.
It's every other.
Every other year. So.
The auditorium, does that include, we kicked the tuck pointing thing down the road. Am I assuming that is not included?
That is not included and not has not been proposed in the capital site either.
So what is in the 81,000? We can find that in our detail.
In the detail.
Got it. Because there's no staff assigned to auditorium.
Correct. It's primarily maintenance and utilities and those types of things.
Okay.
We certainly can provide that. Otherwise, if you cannot find it in looking at the...
We can search for it.
Okay. But that covers, and again, that covers the general operating. And the general operating, the property tax levy is only funding services in the general operating. It does not fund any of the other items that I'll go through real quickly here as far as other programs, other things that the council has got dedicated revenues primarily to cover. And when the council designates revenues, they're really classified as special revenue funds because they're dedicated and they stay for that purpose unless the council would redesignate them. An example would be the Industrial Development Fund. This fund was established for the relocation of the airport and the development of the industrial park. The $1 million that you see there is the Public Improvement Revolving Fund. That's to temporarily fund projects until permanent financing can be determined. That's a level that the past councils have set to do that. You'll see there that basically the fund is being spent down, but with the sale of any land, any future projects out there, that will be going into here and can be reallocated for various projects that the council wishes to do.
And people remember what we spent the money on this year with the Y and the utilities? And
basically the utilities on the Y project were the primary source of all of them. The gas line project to Bacchus Tello was another one. So, again, we had programmed in 19 estimating the project that kind of did not materialize, and so we did come back and the council did amend that. We had projected $700,000, so that did not materialize, and we have adjusted the 19 budget to reflect that. So the Convention and Visitors Bureau, again, that's the lodging tax. 5%, 3% is on lodging, 95% is spent on promoting and doing the conventions. 5% is the maximum amount that we can transfer into the general fund to cover administrative costs to do the books. Their big increase that you see there in 18 was due to the governor's fishing opener that they did. And that those funds are restricted and are covered by their board. And they can only be used for advertising and promoting. Community Development Fund is basically a pass-through for community development block grants. We have a community development block grant that is being administered by the county HRA. And that's for the downtown redevelopment. That's what we have for that.
That goes out to 2040, do I see? Is it that long?
Well, the $300,000 that you see there is cost for the West Wind development. That there's a note that's not due until 2040.
Okay.
And there's interest, a small amount of interest accruing on that every year. Airport operations, you'll see there that is for the airport, operating the airport. A note that I'd like to just point out there is that since the airport has been, this is the last, 2020 will be the last year of the debt service on that, and that since the airport's been relocated, the base of operations for airports have grown from 30 to 51 in conversations with the airport manager. So it's the number of planes that are being based out of there has increased dramatically since the airport's been relocated, which speaks to increased gas sales, fuel sales, and other activity from that.
Is there a waiting list on that? To get into the airport?
Not that I'm aware of, but I don't.
There is for some private, hangars, but that would be more like recreational, not commercial usage. Or business usage. I think there's more capacity available for business usage.
Our hangars, we built some.
Yeah.
They're all paid for.
They're all leased out. And this debt service is...
We'll pay for it.
Everything will be paid for. All of the costs associated with relocating the airport. We had bonded for the net amount. I think the total project was like $16 million, and we had to bond for $2 million. And so between the federal and state grants, which were numerous, it was a big project. The city paid $2 million for a $16 million facility.
The money was leveraged.
Plus, well. And that $2 million basically, I think it was like $750,000 that we had to take from the Industrial Development Fund to kind of reimburse for the federal and state money that had been used for the old airport. But that gave the city well over 200 and some acres that we could resell, and that's where the Industrial Development Fund has that asset, and the monies would go into there to develop that area. So, the Library Improvement Fund, we've had conversations, and they were under the impression that they were going to have it spent by the end of the year, but they have indicated recently that that would not happen, and they're looking at replacing the roof and some, I think, heating improvements that are needed. And so they will use that hopefully up in the next couple years. That was generated by the very first local option sales tax, and the past councils dedicated it to remain for that purpose, since that's what they were raised for.
And the mayor's backed off on having that turned over.
Just for clarification, I was confused when we got that email from the mayor whether he had included it in his budget, because it sort of alluded to that. He has not included this in the budget, and this isn't a designated library improvement fund.
Okay.
So nothing's changed.
No.
Nothing's changed.
He had talked about taking it, though, if it was unspent.
Yeah.
And we're
and
not doing it.
When we were finalizing the numbers, we were under the impression that it was going to be spent, but then later got an update that they were not going to spend it by the end of the year.
I think just a clarification that the last few years there has been a request for them to spend the money because there are needs there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thought was that it was going to happen this year, and I think now they have some specific project that they want to use. If you read those emails, I think the county has agreed to how that's going to be used, and so it will sit here until it's used. I can't imagine that we would agree to spend it on anything else.
Community Investment Fund, again, this was and is a charter. There's a charter section that talks to this. This was when the informal defeasance of a number of debt issues in 1990 was done. A lot of communities, when they do a street project, they will assess a minimum of 20% and then levy on the property tax for the remaining amount to cover their streets. The earnings from this fund and the following fund, the Public Utility Reserve Fund, which is the $4 utility fee, covers the debt service obligations of the city. You'll see there of $870,000 projected for 2020. If this fund and the utility fee were not there, that amount would need to be levied, as other communities do, on the property taxes in order to pay for the city portion of our 10-year street program. And so the resolution you'll see tonight is dealing with a preliminary levy. Says we have enough money projected to be in this fund, and we will take those levies away.
So what happened in 2018 for revenues? Why is it at $1 million, so much more than any other year around it?
I will have to research that and get back to you on that. I off the top of my head, I don't know. Okay. It would be in the detailed information, but I will look at it.
Well, that's part of, I've got a lot of questions in this area.
This is an area that I'd like us to come back to, since we have also been asked to review how we fund streets. I think it's important for us to totally understand where how we're funding streets right now with that, and that there pretty much is not levy money in how we fund streets right now. And then also the second page to address the $4 fee, since we've changed the structure for the utilities, that either the name gets changed or just an understanding of how that $4 that we're collecting is being used. So I think that's a conversation that needs to be held on its own.
Okay.
Unless you have a specific question, Julie, I know you're looking up something.
Again, it just, it, I, I'm not saying I begin to understand some of this. Mm-hmm. I just looked at big differences from year to year, and just thinking, okay, there has to be like in the census and in the voting. There's a logical explanation as to why there's a spike or a cyclical thing, and it just seems like there's a lot of different years that are way off that I'm not understanding why. Okay. What is a tapping fee?
A tapping fee, okay, example of a tapping fee would be similar to like the Gesch property. And or if there was deferred assessments where somebody, the Hawkinson property is probably, I'm thinking, I can't say for sure, happened in 18, and so that's why you see a large influx of dollars. The Gesch property, and I'll use that as an example, has deferred assessment, ag deferments of, I think, $400,000 to $500,000. And so this fund basically holds that receivable until that land is developed. When that land is developed, the tapping fee is either the higher of the current improvement costs or the assessments that are sitting on the books. And so then they would come into and be available for this fund.
Okay.
So the process on this is funds our 10-year street program. So it's a big cog and item for funding the street program. And so when a bond issue is sold to do a street program, the monies are basically put into the construction fund. And the monies, whatever's left over in the construction fund has to go back into the debt service. And I may be getting a little bit too far into the weeds.
That's fine. When we break it down, then I'll go through my tabs.
But I will research that, and I'm guessing that's probably the big increase in 18, and I don't remember when the Hawkinson property was sold and the school was developed, but I'm guessing that was probably around that time frame. And so we've talked about the ag deferments. There's like $750,000 of receivables that this fund is holding that shows as a receivable that as you do projects and if you defer the assessments, that money is paid up front from this fund. And then and it comes back into here when the land is developed.
Okay.
Yep.
In simplistic terms is you don't get the water, you don't get to tap into the water main or the sewer main until you pay the tapping fee. And
Got
we
it.
Set that tapping fee based upon what it costs to put it in. Because if you would have gotten special assessed for it, you get a tap with that because you paid for it in your special assessment. If you didn't pay for it, then you got to pay the tapping fee, which is identical to a special assessment in essence that allows you access to that.
Yeah,
gives it was a huge one in 2017.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, the Public Works Reserve, again, is a $4 utility fee. The revenues come into the sewer fund and then gets transferred a couple times from here, and that's something maybe we can talk about, as Councilman Nelson said, cleaning up and changing the titles, and I know that discussion will happen.
Because, again, it goes back, I'm looking at the differences.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2018, we spent over $1 million.
2018, the mayor allocated $600,000 of the fund balance to cover additional street work.
Okay.
And that will show up on the spreadsheet that was sent out to everybody in relationship to the levy and local government aid. But that is a one-time influx.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
I believe it was 17.
Or 18.
18. Yep.
18. Steve, how do you account for currently for the $4 that just get thrown in here?
The $4 actually is in the waste treatment fund as a revenue.
Okay.
As a...
The whole $4?
The whole $4. And then it gets transferred into this one by statute. This fund was set up by statute for public utility reserve, allowed cities to levy. Well, the city chose to do a $4 instead of a tax levy to pay for this. And then it goes from here, depending on what's needed in the community investment, to pay the debt service. So that's how it kind of filters down.
And if you go, I think, back far enough, this is the one Steve and I grappled with, you know, how did it start? How is it defined? I mean, it was the original
$2, which was water and sewer.
and then it went to $4, and then it kind of morphed into maybe something that one council member might have said, it's for water, sewer,
street,
gutter, and street, and somebody else might have come up with a different definition because it got vaguer and vaguer as time went
and
by.
And it's always been in the rate ordinance for the waste treatment. It's always been in there. It's for water and sewer.
So this might be a good time just to say there has been discussion at the utilities about them paying more accurately for the water mains, and this kind of covers the sewer main cost. So some would say, well, you're double dipping. You're getting money from them twice. And you go like, well, actually, if you look at the cost of the water main and the sewer main and curb and gutter and the street, the water main and the sewer main need this utility money and this $4 to break even. And then the debt or the other money pays for the curb and gutter and the street, special assessments pay for that. So realistically, it's not a double dip. It's just kind of coming from the same location. One's a pass-through and one's right out of the rates. So that's the simple version.
I would say that's absolutely the case. This one we definitely have to talk about as a liaison from the utilities. I'm going to tell you, this is a cause of much angst, and it needs to be clarified and revisited.
I was looking. I had John break out all the projects: curb and gutter, street, water and sewer. In one year, we had no water and sewer for whatever reason, and then the next year, we had $1.1 million. Well, $400,000 doesn't cover.
No.
And so, on average, if you averaged out the years, it's the money that we're asking for, and it's the $4 fee. That becomes the running average.
And for whatever reason, in 2018, we spent the $1.1 million.
And again, the mayor used $600,000 for
to make
those streets.
Yeah.
A one time.
Yep.
One time deal.
Miles, wasn't it?
They did additional. They did additional street work that year.
But this, I think, when we have this discussion, I think the other thing we need to remember is that the utilities are raising their water rates to accomplish the request that we did in a resolution last November, to the tune of about $400,000+, if I remember correctly, and originally this $4 was supposed to be collecting, or the conversation anyway. Was a long time ago that the $4 was collecting what we now are asking them to do with the $400,000. And so I think if there is anything that we need to do, it is to clarify where the $4 are going and the $400,000. And if that is the best method of doing that, the discussion of the $4 is a fee that's on every utility bill. The $400,000 is a water rate increase. And so are we doing it is it in the right place for the right fee, for the right amount, for the right purpose? It's kind of where I'm at. So
if you sit down and say the $4 fee is $400,000 and what we're asking from the utility is $400,000, we could put an $8 fee on and accomplish everything. And it goes for water and sewer. And we're done. And you don't have to increase their rates or nothing.
Yeah. 2 years you'll have to increase it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
they are anyway.
So you have to find a mechanism to pay for it. And so what we're proposing is that the $400,000 in essence pays for the sewer part. And the other $400,000 is gonna pay for the water pipe. And so we're not really double dipping in that perspective. It's just that the $4 is coming through the utility bill, hangs a right, and comes over to wastewater. Because it's not in the rates of the utilities. It's on the bill, but it's not in the rates.
Well, I would just point out the fact that it takes 15 minutes to have this conversation before anybody starts to get light of what's actually happening. It means this has to become...
Yeah, bigger issue.
It must become clear.
So, but these two also fit into how we fund streets. Mm-hmm. And so that's a bigger issue than these two funds, which means we need a conversation about not only what we're doing this year, but where we, what are we proposing to do in the future.
Is that something that should happen at a council meeting then?
Probably a work session.
So the public is educated, sure. And
I think it has to fit into our budget discussions too. And we will more than likely have another meeting like this where we can have that. Yep. But eventually, I think, yes, this is something that the community needs to understand.
And on a related discussion, the intergovernmental transfer kind of ties into this as well, because the intergovernmental transfer in historical discussions, this could have been increased in the intergovernmental transfer. Now, the intergovernmental transfer from the utilities philosophy is that there are tax-exempt entities within the community that do not pay property taxes, but yet use the streets and the other services, parks, police, fire, all that, but they don't pay any property taxes. And a lot of times intergovernmental transfer or return on investment is thought of from some communities as a mechanism to have them pay through their utility fee or utility bill for some of those services. So all the funding sources, I think are correct, that discussion and sort it all out so everybody can understand it.
And that's the thing, is I understand the utilities has been putting on people's bills, and we authorized this, that they have the pass-through dollars are listed on there of what's coming towards the city. Mm-hmm. And so it's very clear from their vantage point that they're able to give definition and define where every dollar is going for their bill, and all the stuff that's pushed off to the city, it goes, and this is what the city is, and we have not done the same. And so I know the dollars are all necessary, but we have to do our homework and define how we're going to be spending those dollars as well. Because right now what it did is it pushed it all over here and said, okay, that's the burden that the city is collecting on your bill. But no one really knows what that's going for as a person who's paying that bill.
We I can tell you right now, the $400 wasn't enough.
Yes,
we know
from the original $4.
We knew the $2 was enough because went to $4, and the $4 currently isn't enough because we are actually going higher than that.
All of
we're
that
going
is true.
To $8, and so you sit back and say, we need the money. How do we get it?
So is this a discussion we would have with utilities to recalculate out their billing? So that
I think that discussion kind of happened already.
It has to come here. Mm-hmm. We already gave them instructions and they've done it. So the discussion is here. And I think it philosophically for me it comes back to taxes versus fees versus
rates
mm-hmm. versus... And right now we're looking at increased taxes and increased rates and increased fees. Yeah. And so...
For increased expenditures,
that's correct. Yeah. And so the question becomes, is that the right way to do it this year, or is it the right way to do it long term? So... All right, I know it's close to 6:30. I know I heard someone needs to leave probably, but
I'll go through. Debt service is the 10-year street program that we've talked about, which is part of this whole discussion about utility fee and everything. Included in there are the programs and their obligations, their anticipated revenues. Again, I mentioned Rice Hospital debt service. That's now we are accounting for that. And it's covered by the lease dollars coming from Caris Health. Enterprise is the waste treatment, again, somewhat related with the $4 fee that comes through here. The rates are set. We had a rate study 5 years ago. There's no projected rate increase for this, even with Eagle Lake. Some of the discussion and the reason why we delayed the discussion on rates is because of the discussion that happened with Eagle Lake. But the profits are there to cover that, and we are in the process of reviewing that whole enterprise fund, which pays for the new waste treatment plant. There's a $7 million debt service balloon payment in the year 2024 or 2025. I don't remember exactly which, but And then the rest of the capital programs, and I know I don't want to rush through it, but that you'll see there, the items in yellow were items that were put forth, but due to funding of $2.7 million was not included in the mayor's proposal, but came through the department director staff. And then was pointed out to me in 2021, there is a complete remodel of City Hall that will should be marked and amended accordingly, depending on what happens in the status of the new city offices that are in the 2020 budget of $8.5 million. The out years, there's really no action, that's just kind of a projection of what are we looking at in the future. It's nothing official there, and it's reviewed again in the next budget cycle, but it's kind of this is on the radar.
And why are these highlighted?
These are items that were put forth by staff, but due to funding, did not put those in.
So if for some reason the city council and or finance said, we want to increase the levy by, parking lot reconstruction for 130. That would be what, about
147,000 raises.
1%.
Yeah.
So you say, nope, that's important. We're going to raise the levy 1% more so we get that project done. This would be the time to discuss these and add or. And in the alternative, look at the ones that were approved and said,
right,
that don't make any sense. Why are we doing that?
Is that a priority?
Yep, why is that a priority?
I have to express a concern. I was surprised to see the rec fields on there. I am concerned about how full our plate is for this next year. There is $4 million in there for that would need to be bonded, I believe, for sales tax. At our meetings, I thought we had discussed about working on Robbins Island and Swanson Fields, and that we would start work on the rec fields, but that they'd actually be in 2021 when you add community center and new city hall, hiring an administrator. I am concerned about the projects that we are looking at, but I have not had an opportunity to hear I don't know why that one was included there. I think the other thing that Mr. Oakens had presented for the local option sales tax was we are collecting about $250,000 each month. And what do we want to bond for and what do we not want to bond for? Because that the bonding costs will be absorbed by extending local option sales tax dollars. And so the community will pay if we bond faster than we take the money in. I'm not saying that that's a reason not to do it. I'm just was surprised to see it there because I didn't think that flowed with how the workflow could happen and our ability to handle all of these projects with staff.
Is that coming from the Invest in Wilmer group of saying what their timeline was for when
it was how it was presented, but I may have missed.
These dollars were put forth by staff when we preliminarily met to figure out and estimate a timeline, which is being revised and being discussed now. This was so that we could meet the requirements of submitting the capital request and budgeting to meet that budget calendar on the various six projects.
I just also want to point out that if we sold bonds, there really shouldn't be a citizen, paying additional taxes for this. The bonds would be paid for by the revenue stream coming in. So
it right, but the revenue stream is just going to be lengthened to pay for the interest on the bonds.
Oh, true.
That's what I meant by that. Versus paying cash.
Yeah, the sales tax will pay a little bit more because you had to bond for it rather than pay cash. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
But we did this 2 years ago when the mayor put in money for City Hall. There were no dollars in the budget, but we put it in there to do bonding. And so this being in here or not being in here, how is it affecting the budget? I don't, I mean, I just want, I just think we need to be real about our expectations too, so. Question, go ahead, Sean.
Well, I would say you may, I mean, there's always placeholders in the CIP for things that are not going to happen. And then we never take action necessarily to remove them. But local option sales tax, we have a process in place of how that is supposed to move through. Nothing has ever come yet to the council. That's where it's supposed to go. And so to dedicate any kind of monies towards that before those projects are coming to the council for approval seems premature. But you could put them all on this listing if there's an understanding that when the priorities that are set forth by local office sales tax are addressed by the council, that the rest of them move off of here to the rightful place.
Yep.
I have no problem if there's a process in place for that, because they are, frankly, placeholders. But unlike, for instance, perhaps a band shell at Robbins Island, where these have been approved, and so move them by priority instead of putting them all on here, because the authority of when those are going to be done is done by the council, and once that priority is done by the council, adjust and move them accordingly. I mean, you could put all of them on here as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the total of the local option sales tax in the 2020 part is 9.8 of the total 30 million.
Right. Yep.
And if you don't want to do it, it's in the bonding area. It's not being
paid
for by taxes. So if you don't want to do it, you don't bond for it, and you don't do the project.
Any bonding has to be authorized by the council.
Yeah, it's
as
not
well.
A problem.
So.
But you got to start somewhere.
Yep.
And we were sitting in a room. How do we lay this thing out? I can tell you that I've been working over the last 2 weeks on the schedule, on how this lays out, and it's probably changed 3 times in the last 2 weeks. And when we get the construction manager on board, he's going to have a better understanding of how construction works, and he's going to change it again.
And
so this is really fluid.
And that's really important as far as the bonding discussion goes, because in order to do a cash flow, it ties to the schedule. And once the schedule gets more solidified, naturally we would want to pay cash up until we would need to do bonding for when the major construction starts. And so that's why at the last finance meeting we brought a preliminary budget for October through December, which the council acted on, and did the $750,000 anticipated to be collected in the last 3 months of the year. And then as the architectural agreements or as these projects progress, we will adjust that and realign it with the authorized projects in the statute.
Yeah. I had 2 other concerns. One I found on here, park equipment is listed for $150,000, and I think we had made a commitment a couple of years ago to make sure that we were doing funding every year. I thought that it had been missing, and I found it, so I'm glad to see that one there. The other concern I have is that all of the auditorium repairs have been removed, and we are just pushing the can down the road. So
that's what I was going to comment on. Just without having numbers in front of me and the big picture, I guess I just had in my head that with the local option sales tax projects, that was going to take a lot of our CIP obligations, like Swanson Field and baseball diamonds and all that stuff, got wrapped into local option sales tax. So we would have had money available then for the auditorium. But that does not seem to be the case.
No, in fact, with Swanson Fields, the lights have been on the CIP for quite a few years, and it's now been removed with the exception of the orange, or the one that is being designated for. So that's another thing that's been removed.
And let me jump in here.
Yep.
I've seen your hand, but I'm going to say, as of today, we just had a meeting out at Swanson where the committee is thinking that they're not going to do orange, they're going to do blue. I'm just saying, things are fluid.
That's not the name.
Things are fluid, so I'm just saying. Now, they're going to do some things in orange, but they're going to change their focus to blue. So I'm just pointing this out, that lights for Swanson orange, And maybe they're going to be actually in blue, and the committee is still working out the details. So this is just a very fluid thing. Yes,
they meet on Tuesday at 6:30. There's a few people that want to switch blue as the main baseball field instead of orange.
Yeah.
So, no.
So, anyway, I point that out because we're talking about all this stuff, and we're going to make decisions. Yeah. We're going to make decisions, and it's going to change.
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I would say that the auditorium we brought up earlier, and there's like perhaps nobody designated as the champion for that, but if we're going to continue to kick the can down the road, we might as well have a council meeting where we form the Friends of the Auditorium before it's demolished. Because the farther we kick that down the road, it's going to become in more disrepair.
So,
there are grants, historical grants that could be applied for, etc. I would recommend highly that this become an agenda item on a future council meeting to deal with that, because you're absolutely correct. I mean, we have done literally not much of anything on that except putting in blocks in the basement, which is not helping the facade.
When we review the CIP and what's in the budget for this year or last year, there is money. There's still $250,000 sitting out there.
I thought we spent that money.
No, we didn't.
So
we didn't.
There was $250,000 with a required match of $250,000 in this year's budget.
But
and there's been no match or no grant.
Nobody's been looking for a match. So there is. We have to come up with a way to prioritize things that need to be done in the auditorium. So. In my mind, I'm only one person, sorry.
Well, I know that has to... And so if we don't make it a... I mean, and I understand where this budget is, but if we do not make that an item to address, it is very convenient to continue to kick it down the road. At some point, the beautiful facade is going to be on the sidewalk. It's going to fall off.
Has the city done, like, a historical architectural analysis, brought in a specialist,
that
writes
is,
up a report?
That has been put on the historical...
That's not what he's asking.
Typical process to get a grant, especially through state of Minnesota Historical Society, is you bring in a consultant. We've used them down in Ulm numerous times. You bring them in, they write you up a 30, 40-page analysis of the significance of the facility, both architecturally, design, culturally, blah, blah, blah. And that then is what is the base for what you tote up to the State Historical Society and start applying for grants.
So
and so if you've not done that
we found the person.
You're 9 months away from even trying to get
grants. That's exactly what's happening. And I know I'll editorialize a bit. People had some ideas of what that could be. Maybe it could be a community center, maybe it could be X, Y, or Z. Well, those are all gone off the table as where the direction is going. And it still sits there. It needs help now.
Right.
There was an analysis of the building, but not to the level that you're describing.
And what you do, I'm just tell you simply, you apply for a grant to do the architectural, historical, community significance, and they give you $12,500, and you put an ad out looking for, and the people will contact you, and they'll say, I'll write that thing up for you. You bring them in. 6 months later, you got a document, and you take that and you go for a $100,000 grant up to the state, or to the some foundation, or to whatever.
This? Is that community development?
Who would do that? It could be your community development. It could be the friends of. The Friends of the Auditorium. It could be anybody.
I will tell you, Jill Wanutka at the Minnesota Historical Society has done many of these things.
Sure.
You need to get a legacy grant to get that art person out here to do a historical evaluation.
That's step one.
And those grants are almost always granted. But when you move farther, it takes a real analysis. This building is going to qualify. A heart of the city of Wilmer building with huge historic significance. But pretty soon, it's not going to matter. Structurally, that building is in dire straits right now.
I just want to bring us back to, we're going to, we need to mark this one as a CIP review.
And when do we do that?
Well, we're going to come up with some meetings to do this. Got and it. So we will plan to do that. Because we're going to do more, we're probably going to have to do one or two more of this type of meeting in addition to our finance meetings. But we can lay out a process for a summary of what we've kind of asked for.
That isn't a third Friday, a third Monday?
No, there aren't enough of those before the end of the year.
No.
Third Friday.
But I,
no.
But
killing is wrong.
I do.
Friday night meetings would be great.
I do want to say one more thing. No, the mayor made a statement in there, and part of the CIP review process is council priorities. But I don't know that we have done a good job with council priorities. I don't think we've talked about council priorities since our retreat, which was more than... So I think that's something for us to think about before we do this again next year, is what do we want in a CIP process and how do we prioritize? All right. Any questions on CIP tonight? Capital... We have one more handout here. Do we want to talk about this, or do we just want to hand it out? Did we talk about it already?
No, but I can. It's up to you.
All right. So based off from our discussion tonight, this sheet that was asked for is the levy limit base history. Are we ready to make a decision? Would you like these? Let's just pass them out.
If I could, Madam Chair, I just went back and added one slide, and it's somewhat related to this worksheet as well. But we went and looked at some residential properties and what their 2019 property taxes are for the city portion only, and then with this projected or estimated tax levy, what the effect would be for that property owner for the city portion only. For a $140,000 home, it would go up $11.58.
That isn't this.
No.
No.
Okay. For a $176,000 home, which is what we and kind of feel is maybe the mean valued home, it would go up $15.45. And for a $344,000 home, it would go up roughly $33, $34.
Is that the 2.6?
That is the 2.6. That
the
is
proposed,
the projection. Yeah,
the
that's proposed levy.
Right. Levy. Right.
The proposed
right.
levy.
Okay.
Of $5.7 million. That's the effects it would have on those levels.
Now, we could probably have an hour discussion on all the variables of this, because this is taking a $140,000 home from last year and a $140,000 home from this year. But the $140,000 from last year is probably now $142,500. And so when they say, well, you know, it's going to go up $11.58, that house will actually go up $13.82. So I mean, it's a snapshot of what 140 comparable, but if people look at their taxes from last year to this year, the $344,000 home may not have even gone up in value. It might have gone down to 342 because of the market. The 140 went up from 140 to 143, and so when one goes down, the other one went up. The tax burden shifted from the 340 house to the, and so in the end, one would say, well, that the 340 house is going to pay $30 and the 140 house is going to end up paying, you know, $13.50. That's the devil's in the details that I just want to point out to you.
And if this you look is only at this, the city portion.
This is a snapshot.
Meaning the county's got their levy too.
The county, yeah. From their preliminary numbers, indications are their rate is going to go down. Their levy is going up dollar-wise, but from preliminary discussions, their rate will go down. I don't know what the school district's...
I just heard the school is not going... They don't think it's going up either, so okay. There won't be going up.
Okay, so it could feasibly be, if the values stay the same, a decrease in your property taxes overall.
Yeah.
Fernando,
if you include everybody in your tax bill.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not as quick as Andrew on some of this math stuff, but for, okay, so we're saying about a 2.6, so mm-hmm. for one, let's say 1%, that's going to be, let's say, $6.5, $7. If it was like $140,000.
No, this is the 1 mil rate increase on the rate.
I
thought you said that 2.6 was like the $11.58.
2.6% increase on the tax rate is the increase, not on the tax dollar.
I guess I'm lost then.
It's the adjustment in the rate, not the dollars that are charged.
Right. 2.6 is the rate.
Mm-hmm.
But the dollars you're reflecting is like $11.58 for 2.6. Is that what you're saying?
So if you divided 11.58 by 2.6, you would be able to say if I added 3.6, it would go up this much.
So if this was, let's just round that to 3%.
And then it's $12.
Yeah. That is 2.6, roughly 2.5%.
But if you were to double that, let's say it's 6% or 3%, if you double that, would that be $22 or $23?
Yes.
That's what I'm trying
that's
to get
to. That's the math.
Yep. Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we went to 4%, we could divide that in half and plus... Yep. Do the math in your head, and whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand. Okay.
And again, this is only on the city portion.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's
go ahead, John.
And that's without gas franchise fees going back. That's without a water fee going back.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a, and I can't. I know that I have a responsibility for this piece, but I can't help. All those other ones are sitting. And I don't know how to reconcile what that cost could be. I can get the water rate to us. I suppose I can ask the question there of what that would be on a similar thing.
Well, 1% is what, 147,000. So you would have to increase the tax rate.
As many as you need?
I guess so. Almost 2%.
That's a new one.
And drop out the gas franchise fee. Okay.
Rough numbers. Yeah. I mean,
rough numbers. I'm not getting down to nitty gritty. Maybe it's 1.75.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you want to drop 250 out. You add 147 and another 100.
And any adjustments on the appropriation side?
Yep.
Of the non-departmental.
Or cut expenditures.
That's.
Or cut bing, bing, bing.
Sorry.
Yep.
No, those are the alternatives.
I understand. Yep.
Go ahead, Fernando.
But I think about what our citizenry wants for services too. They want roads. They want clean water. They want, you know, parks. They want, so I mean, I can understand that we gotta watch increases, but we also have to maintain what we have or try to improve what we have. You know.
And I will tell you, I don't disagree with that philosophically. However, what I do disagree with is trying to make all of those gains at the same time. That tax burden becomes excessive in 1 year's time. I mean, when you're doing these things, had we been, and I'll take, well, we should take some of that responsibility. Had we been more proactive in that, we perhaps would have planned for that a little better than we have. So I don't. I totally agree with what you're saying. However, I may not agree with all of the mechanisms triggering in at the same time.
But I do think that we're here because of the conservatism for the last 10 or 15 years on the roads,
right,
on our buildings.
Yeah.
And so we are playing catch-up.
Steve and I were talking about this, and that you don't need to spend a whole lot of time on it, but Wilmer is sitting at 39 mils. City of New Ulm is at 72. Why are they at 72? Because they said, we need to increase our levy 13% 1 year because we brought on all our sales tax projects. That was 9% right there. And then after that, we had to, because you want good streets, because you want new fire truck, because you want this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, the tax capacity on New Ulm is about... It's less than half of what Wilmer has.
Yeah.
So you're 39 mils on 20 billion versus New Ulm's 71 mils on 7 billion. The tax burden is phenomenal if you look at theirs. And so all I'm trying to say is
we don't want to increase taxes, and I understand that, but if you want services, you got to be able to step to the plate, and if you can justify it, people, you know, understand it. We had a 9% increase just in our local option sales tax operation costs. Custodians, toilet paper, electricity, air conditioning, natural gas, you name it, 9% in 1 year. On top of the normal health care increase, on top of the wage increase that everybody normally anticipates, it was 13%. And we didn't hear one person come up and say, my taxes are too high. Because the council said, you guys voted for these sales tax projects, 92% positive voter rating. So this is the result of that. So I'm just saying, if you, and I'm tying this to next year, I'm tying this to 2021 and 2022. If you think this is bad, wait until you bring on the rec center, event center, and the larger community center, and this
new city hall.
Well, yeah, these things are gonna add.
Well, you'll be saving on energy.
Well, you can save the energy, but the city hall is likely going to have
the debt service.
Going to have an $800,000 debt service.
Yep.
I know.
Yep.
And $800,000 divided by 147 gives you your increase in taxes.
Six times what it is right now.
Piggyback on that, though, we're hoping that by having those facilities, we're going to bring in a larger population base.
Yep. The population base, it's the tax base that pays for
right, the tax base. Families.
The population has to live somewhere, and that's a house, and they have to eat somewhere, and that's a rest for another recession. But it takes time for that to happen.
After building all this.
No. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just have to share something.
Please.
My husband and I just drove through a city that we grew up near, and it used to be really nice. We drove through, and it was awful. There was weeds in the median. The roads were bad. Major businesses were closed. There was hardly any traffic. This is like a town that used to be 20,000 people like ours. And we thought, oh, my goodness, if I had to pick between two cities where to pick a job, would not go there. You know, I wouldn't want to live there, wouldn't want to put a business there. And
what town's that?
Starts with an A, has two words.
Okay. That's what I would guess.
It was really sad, you know, and we were thinking they must not pay much taxes. They're probably happy they're not paying much taxes. But they...
Yeah,
it wasn't impressive.
I think, though, too, as we look to back to what can we handle, I think we have a responsibility to figure that out. But I also see with everything we're doing, we're probably short in public works, and we're probably short staff in other areas. And so I think we need to be real about our expectations for what we can do with what we have. But the dollars are going to drive our train here. And so I think that's why we have to do our due diligence with this budget and to figure out what we can do and what we can't do with that. But also, there are a lot of good things that are, I think we need to be careful that we don't tip the boat over also with that, because there are a lot of good things that we are working on. But I think we have to have real expectations for our staff too, so...
I asked all the department heads at a meeting, I just said, if there were no controls on your operation, and, you know, monetarily, you had unlimited resources, how many new employees would you have in your department to cover your base? And Public Works said they want one out in wastewater and four in Public Works garage doing street stuff. So, you know, is that too much? I don't know. I'm just saying, you've got a professional in the chair of that department, and he said, if I had all the money in the world, this is what I think I need. He didn't
say 20. Like 20 or 30.
He didn't say 20 or 30. He just said one in wastewater and four more snowplow operators or street workers.
It's not pie in the sky expectations.
No. And so I throw that out there and just say, there are, you know, opportunities to probably do better. You know, I've talked to the city engineer about the bumpiness of some roads in town. got a pickup truck, and it's light in the end, and if you know, if I don't have a lot of gas in it, I hit them, and I go, pow! And the whole truck moves over like 3 inches, and I go, what just happened? And I think what we're asking, what the citizens are asking the council to do, is to weigh out the policies, weigh out and balance the needs versus the resources, and it's a tough job to be in your chairs when you see so many opportunities to do better for your citizens, and your resources are what they are. And you don't want to go 13%.
And so, I mean, Audrey, I like what you're saying as well. I mean, I think nobody is saying that we are going to do nothing in the city of Wilmer. That's not what we're doing. I'm saying, you know, you got that Lund fishing boat. You can't put 500 horsepower on the back of it and think you'll maneuver very well. You're flipping the thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying we have to find the happy place.
Yep.
And I don't want to overshoot.
Yeah. And I don't know what the happy place is. I mean, we had a HRA meeting and we were talking about rents. Well, you raise the levy, it affects the people who own the property who are setting the rents. Mm-hmm. You raise the water rates and you raise the franchise fee or you raise the other, it's still affecting the rates with sure. who's picking up Absolutely. The tab for those. And so it's kind of that what's the lesser of two evils or, you know, with how do you do it? And so I don't know what the answer is, but I do think we need to think about that strategy with how does it work for industry in commercial versus residential versus so
okay, just one question on that previous one, Steve, you went back a slide. I'm not suggesting this, however, just
that one?
if I were to levy the full 3%, I would be adding, because I'm looking at, you know, if I were to approve this budget as it is, hypothetical. If I were to levy the full amount, I'd have another almost $250,000 to put towards streets, for instance. What would be the net effect on here? I don't want you to...
Rough numbers.
Rough, yeah.
If you were going to 3% instead of 2.6?
Yep. I'd be about...
You're at another, basically, a little less than 25%. I mean, additional. So
about $2.5, $3 on that first one.
Yep. Okay. Just quick.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Andrew's probably got it exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. How close are we? How much is it?
I'm waiting for him to go to
64.
Yeah, you're well for the difference on the 140. You're at 1356. 452.10. 103. Yeah.
It'd be about 20%.
Hold on. What was your guess?
About 20%.
465.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other questions?
Pardon?
Other questions. So, Mr. Oakens, we do need to pass a preliminary levy by the end of September, correct?
Correct.
Which we have scheduled to do at our special council meeting on Monday, September 30th. The recommendation, or the question is, are we ready to make a recommendation for what that preliminary levy should be? And I will come back to the Finance Committee is the group that needs to make that recommendation. So
this $5,776,000, that
that's 2.6% increase over on the rate.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
It's a 10% on the dollar amount, but the difference being the new construction and new values. So,
Fernando, any further thoughts?
I'm coming up with a dollar amount. I just want to make sure that
if they go to three,
we
than 2.6.
We are.
Thinking
of the future, trying to maintain what we have, and we're not slipping behind. That's what I don't want to be slipping behind. We're behind now. I don't want to slip further behind. I don't know. And I hear everything you're saying. I understand it's a big pill to swallow, but I also hear what Brian's saying, that there might be some capacity to maybe increase that a little bit. But anyway, that's...
Yes, Andrew. Yes.
I guess that's kind of what I struggle with, just a little, and because everybody talks about, and I've said it before myself in my own personal life, feels like we're just getting nickeled and dimed to death. And what gets the most frustrating is when it becomes a whole series of convoluted taxes, fees, surcharges, this, that, this, that, this, that, and this, that. And so I'm kind of like, you know, if we need more money and it's okay, how do we get it from the levy or from franchise fees or from what? I'm kind of like, well, why not? It seems more forthright to the citizens to just be upfront. And also there's that progressive nature of levying, whereas the added cost to an assessed $80,000 property compared to an assessed $400,000 property, there's a difference there that's, I think, you can make a solid argument for. I guess in my mind, I kind of think, you know, and then also discussing the levy. So say hypothetically, we increase that operating levy, we can set it at a higher amount and always come down, but right. We cannot go back up. So should that be the case, that would leave us room to, say we set it higher, that would leave the entire council room to discuss the options for fees, surcharges, whatnot, possibly reduce them or get rid of them. Yeah. Or lower the levy that we preliminarily set higher.
Yep.
Out of respect for the process that you two were with the mayor with this, would you speak to how you came to the amount that's being proposed tonight? I mean, I don't know what the mayor's request was. I don't know where he was at. And
I think originally the request was 0% increase, no new staff. Mm-hmm. But 0% increase with health insurance and wages going up, was that a realistic starting point? And I think if you follow maybe the train of thought of some people who make those kind of comments, they say zero in order to keep everything as close to zero as possible, but they recognize that it might be 2.6%. Mm-hmm. So if they said, well, I want 5%, everybody would come in with 10%, you know. So they say zero, and then you basically you tighten everything down, and you only get what you absolutely need. So there may be some theory to how he proposed his budget, okay? And that's his theory, and I'm just making an assumption on that. But I think realistically it was, here are all the departmental requests, here's all the revenue we can come up with, and we've dug in every pot possible. We created a new one, the gas franchise fee. We're stretching to try and find and filter money from any corner that we can. And when we reached a point where that's the maximum of revenue, you drew the line. And in essence, we've looked in every pocket. We looked in every fund. We looked in every opportunity. They're in here. There are a few I'm going to tell you right now, or at least one that was raised that, you know, it's a grand idea, but the legislature says we can't do that. So, we, you know, the mayor had to take that off the table because we don't have any statutory authority to do that. And so that was something that was like, God, we really don't want to do this, and it frees up all this money, but it doesn't work. Okay, so you look at your expenses, you look at your revenues, and at some point we had to say, this is the most we can do. And this is as high as we can go, because we were going, what would 1%, you know, increase in levy be? Actually, we were talking, what would 5% increase in the tax levy? What would 5% be? And then as we started working it through, we went, well, it looks like we're going to have to do 10, because there's certain things that we were thinking we could get revenue on that aren't available to us. So then we ended up being, realistically,
He wanted to go. He wanted to go to one mil. I mean, on the rate.
Yep.
Which.
Yep. And so, realistically, we're now at Brett. Is the way I read it, 10%.
10% on the dollar levy.
10% on the dollar amount, but 2.6.
One mil.
The actual.
That's where it came up with the 2.6% on the rate.
Yeah. So effectively, 2 mils is 5.2.
It's 1 mil generates $147,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So effectively, I mean, that would be the case. If you went to 3% instead of 2.6, you're increasing it roughly $21,000.
Say that again.
If you go to 3% instead of 2.6 on the rate, the mill rate would go up 1.14 mils, which is about $21,000 additional. So for every 1 mil that you generate, 1 mil generates about $147,000 because we have...
Or another 2.5%.
Yep. Yeah.
So you'd be just over 5.
5%.
If you went, yeah, you'd be at 5.2%.
Yep. You know, those are guidelines. Yeah. Gauge.
Yep.
That's what would be on the notes.
Now, I've been in council meetings where we said, we're just going to throw it all in the bucket, and it's 14%, and we send it to the county auditor, and he puts it in a notice, he or she, and they send it out, and we get a bunch of people show up and said, 14%, what were you thinking? And we end up at 3. So you don't want to go, you know, sky high on your, and then go down. So we chose to say, okay, you know, like this, 2.6, the most we'd ever consider is 4%. And then you go 4, and then you maybe you drop down to 3.1, or you go to 2.9, or whatever. That's kind of a easy thing to understand. But that number is your guys' number. That's
we're a little bit, I think, behind the eight ball just from the standpoint of the franchise fee kind of being thrown in without any kinds of discussions or with that. I feel just from where we're at, we at least have to start with this as the preliminary levy. And I'm not quite sure if there's other people thinking we need to do more than that. You know, I am concerned about the, you know, if we can make reasonable, if we have to make, are there reasonable cuts that are not going to set us back other ways? If we don't do the franchise fee, if we do the levy and we don't do the franchise fee, you know, what are we doing to the community as a whole? But I'm looking to this group for help with thinking this through. So, go ahead, John.
Can I talk?
You can talk.
You said you wanted to go back to your committee.
When we make a motion, it has to come back to this.
Oh,
but I don't think we're ready to make the motion.
Well, the franchise fee difference from the previous thing, according to this revenue, was doing about $245,000. Going and not going to 3 was about $233,000, according to this piece. Isn't that what I'm seeing, where if the mayor would have actually levied the full amount, it's $233,000. I'm seeing that.
Oh, that was back in...
No, that was 2012.
Yeah.
Was that in that line?
Yeah, that was the year 2012.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Lost my mind.
Yeah.
So, is what you're going to ask? Can I read your mind?
Yes. You know where it is. Go ahead.
What would be the equivalent?
Correct.
To compensate for the franchise fee, what would be the equivalent rise on the levy percentage?
Well, it'd be 1.3. Because if 526,000 is 2.6,
yeah, 1.6.
250 roughly is going to be.
Uh huh. Okay.
1.3ish. So, what'd you come up with?
1.6.
1.6.
Yeah.
I'm thumbnail.
So,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm going to play a devil's advocate because we're already getting pushed back about the concern of raising the levy.
Oh, yeah.
With the increase that we've gotten in LGA, et cetera. I don't know where we're going to go for fixing how we're going to pay for streets in the future. I think we're stuck this year with where we're at, but I am concerned about doing it for the right reasons, raising the levy for the right reasons.
4% or 4.2, yeah.
Go ahead.
I agree with that. But where we're sitting right now in this snapshot of time, where we have to come up with a levy amount to cover this budget. If we're not prepared to cut things out of this budget this evening, then you want to put forward this budget, then I have got to cover this particular budget. And if I don't want to have every homeowner receive the same bill payment increase from a franchise fee, if I would like it to be proportionate to their value of their home, I would levy the amount versus a franchise fee. You're absolutely right that I don't know if this is the correct budget to forward, but right now I'm supposed to be under the gun to set a preliminary levy that we're going to change. So I agree with everything you just said, but you're putting me in a position where I've got a budget here and we're not about to change this evening. I got to set a levy that's going to cover this budget right now. Then I would prefer to cover that through levy increase versus a franchise fee increase. But that's just my flavor of what sure. I would like to see.
And the alternative to that of raising is cutting.
Yep.
There's nothing in the rules that says there's nothing in the rules that says you have to start the deputy fire chief on January 1. You can start him on July 1, him or her. You can start literally the finance yep. person on July 1. There's $100,000 right there yep. between the two positions. I'm saying there's things we could do.
And not being involved in the discussions, the non-departmental line item is a very large number. I don't know. I'm not being involved in the discussion. That's a very large number. I'll just leave it at that.
Last year when I was involved in some of the budget things, we sent it back and asked departments to cut 10%. And I know it was painful, and I know there were some departments who could succeed on it and some that couldn't. But, you know, we're not to that point yet, I don't think, to even understand the budget completely. I mean, we've covered a lot of territory tonight. I think the question is, what can this community handle for a levy increase? And if we're not comfortable with the other options, then we're talking about cutting. And, you know, with that, I guess it depends on how you feel if we, you know, with that. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay. And I know, okay, the levy increase is just going to go to homeowners, right?
No, it will go to all commercial, industrial, property.
Okay,
all property
yes,
owners.
Yes. But renters, that's the pass on. It'll go to the owner.
Property owner.
Right. And they would possibly be passing it on. But if it's the utilities, a franchise fee, that's more spread out then for all the renters and everybody else, isn't it?
It's only who has center point, has natural gas. Somebody who has electric heat or something like that would not be paying.
But it is.
Okay.
But the utilities are also raising their water rates.
Right.
Okay, so it's a question of how many.
So, again, I go back to when people are going to get their statements. And if the county didn't go up and the school might not go up, that's when I say we take this advantage because they're not going to have heart palpitations for the little that the city will go up then. That's where I'm at. Because I think they like what they have. They want to continue it. This is a good city. And I think we have to keep improving to be the city of choice.
Mr. Fagerly, your words of wisdom. Anything?
Well, I never supported the franchise fee because not everyone had CenterPoint gas. It was the hot water, heat. There's electric. Some still have fuel oil in town. Some have LP. But now utilities is eliminating the hot water, so you'll gain a few more customers that way with CenterPoint. But utility fees, you don't get, I mean, people that get a tax return, they don't get to decrease or exempt that from their taxes, but property taxes, they do. There's a line item, isn't there?
Well, the new tax laws, itemization is kind of a thing of the past for most people.
5 years ago, the answer was yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's not there.
Well, rent credits, they get that still, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't rebate.
Property tax refund if you have the right percentages. But
yeah.
So you got to be.
Actually, what we're grappling with is the social aspect of levying fees versus taxes versus whatever.
And the only reason I said what I did is because I feel like it offers us the most option. It offers us the most flexibility and options as a council from tonight moving on forward. So we'd still be left with a whole bunch of different ways to mold this thing. Yeah. Whereas if we set, say hypothetically, say we set zero levy increase, right? Then we are forced to make cuts and we have absolutely no option. Whereas we set it wherever higher than what we need, we have a bunch of options yet to sit and discuss. And if it's something that we got to hammer and chisel at, whatever we got to do, we still are left with options.
Yep.
And I prefer to have options rather than being constrained.
But with a utility fee, you'll have the churches and the governmental buildings paying for it, where property taxes they don't pay. So you're gaining that way. And that's why we assess for streets, so those churches and nonprofits have to pay for the streets. I don't know, it's a catch 22.
Go ahead, Fernando.
I like what Andrew was saying. We can, if we have a set the levy higher, we can discuss, do we want to meld the franchise fee for the gas into that as a part of the levy? Do we not want to do that? I like the idea of having some options or many options or a few options. So I guess I'd rather start a little high and back down. Once we lock it in at 2.6, we're locked in, and we better be sure we know what we're doing.
Any further discussion?
Well, I guess my only other comment would be I agree with the chair. I agree with Audrey that after we do whatever we do tonight, that we have to have the serious discussion. Can we handle all of, can the city handle everything on our list? Is this something that is, are these reasonable expectations with our tax capacity within the city of Wilmer? And that's how I would go. My mindset is not how do we come up with more money? How do we come up with more money? Because if you're doing that, we don't have our brains all the way around the magnitude of the issue. But I think that's probably the most important thing is, can the taxpayers of the city handle it?
Okay, what do we need to do?
What are your wishes? Somebody needs to make a motion either to stay with what was proposed, or we need to come up with a new figure before we make the motion.
Just the... Wow. What is the resulting figure if you do that 4.2%?
On the rate, 4.2. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had calculated.
Any last words of wisdom, Mr. Brown?
No, I think we hit all the buttons.
Okay. Mr. Elkins, you were at the table also. Any last words of wisdom? I'm still curious that the franchise fee, I think, surprised us all, and so the concept behind that, I think, I don't know if you have any other words of wisdom on that one.
Yeah, I don't. It just, again, falls on philosophical, how you want to receive your revenue. Are they regressive taxes or fees, or are they, you know, progressive? You know, people can argue against either one. You know, because I own a $400,000 house, does my car ride on wear the street more than other people? No, well, but you maybe have more cars,
But there's only two people living here. We can only drive two at a time. I mean, there's all the intricate what ifs, and it just boils down to, you know, the city council ultimately saying this is a reasonable number, and between now and December 2nd, we will hammer out the actual number with more information, because some decisions have yet to be made, could be made, which would free up a ton of money, as Steve has mentioned, you know, in that undesignated line item. You sit there and go, or, you know, go like, well, if we don't do that, do you still want to use it? Do you want to put it back in a pocket?
So that's a philosophical thing, though. I don't see that line item freeing up money. I see that line item either staying where it's at.
Yeah, happening or don't happen, but the money stays.
Six or one half thousand to you.
Understood.
The mayor proposed the budgets. People know what it is.
Yeah,
except they didn't they won't understand the stuff that's in there. Franchise fees and all that.
The conversation that's going on up here is this is the mayor's proposed budget. We've been asked now to take it, and so I think there will be comments if we change what the mayor's proposed, but I'm not sure everyone understood that there was a franchise fee being proposed in addition to the levy. So I think that's our dilemma right now with how this is going to be explained to the community. So,
well, one last little speaking point, and may, if somebody else feels differently, please speak up, because all that I'm thinking in my mind is if we set the levy to, if we make the recommendation to send the levy to council at the recommended 2.6%, if we do that, and then we go ahead and we do set the levy at 2.6%, but then we also decide that we cannot stomach the idea of doing other things like franchise fees and whatnot, then we are left no option but to cut from the budget. That leaves us no other choice. And so if we're cool with that, then we can go ahead and do that, but we need to know right now, tonight, that that will be the result that we are left with. Is our only option then, if that's the way we feel about things like franchise fees and whatnot, is to cut. Whereas if we want to still be able to discuss it further and make further changes, I see this as potentially the only way to go as a recommendation to the council for Monday. Yep. But I believe Rick has a point too, that this was the recommendation of the mayor. And that also, there will be kickback, potential pushback.
Well, I think I just feel like we have to raise it to cover the $4 franchise fee. Mm-hmm. But
the $4 franchise fee is a different fee than the other franchise.
I know, but
fee.
If we're not going to incorporate that, do that,
you then we mean have to the new franchise the fee.
Yeah, the new franchise.
Okay. Got it. You're referring to that as the $4.
Yeah, I thought it was increased by another $4.
Got it.
That it was $4, the new one's $4, but proposed new one. What's our number?
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, sorry. I want to point out that when we received that budget on Monday, I had nothing to know where those new revenue streams were from. Those details were not available on Monday's meeting. And so I sent this off earlier. I've cited charter language. When we have a budget to be brought forward where there are going to be major changes from the current year in finance policy, expenditures, or revenues, that they come coupled with the reasons for those changes and summarize those. I didn't get any of that information, and I'm not going to call anybody out on that, but we didn't have that information. And if one of those new revenue streams is a franchise fee, that is not information that I knew. And so now,
which by charter you should have.
I should have known that, exactly. And so I get that we're late in the game on this, but the one thing that sits there is this operating levy and their time frame there. And so I think you could probably explain the reason that you make a position to increase it if that were the case, because you want to be respectful of the budget number that you got. But I will say, I did not know, the council was not aware of these different types of revenue streams that were different from 2019 to 2020 on Monday night when we were presented that budget. And again, I'm not going to point a finger of blame in that. It's just how it was. But you also then cannot point to the council and say the council is in error if we don't simply forward this with the levy that was proposed, because we didn't know. And so I think you have to explain why you did what you did, and that we're now going to take the time to address what's in there.
Did you get a number, Steve?
Yeah, you want the grand number that would replace this one? 5,924,657. That would be a 4.2%.
All right, well, you said 4.2, correct? Right?
Is what you
4.2.
said.
4.2.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm roughly doing it, so I will need to verify it, but that's the number I came up with.
5,924,6.
Yeah, which raises it an additional roughly $147,836, which is 1 mil is about $147,000.
5,924,657.
So it does not give us enough to replace the franchise.
245.
Is there a historical average for the levy, or is it just?
Other than well, the documents that we got here, I can't answer.
Yeah, no, the historical rate on levies is all driven by the value of the community. As the value goes up and changes, I mean, the rate, I mean, to look at a rate, it's not, I mean, it's
like,
really kind of be.
Okay, 9, 10, and 11 would have been like anomaly years.
What was there in about?
Well, because of property value fluctuations, it changed things so
well. In 9, 10, 11, and 14, the state restricted what you could levy because of the levy limit laws. The combined total of your local government aid and your levy is a base that they have, and they would give you a percentage increase on that base. And so if they funded more under local government aid, that meant you had to levy less. If they gave you less on local government aid, that gave you the option to levy more, and that's why in 2012 you see the mayor at the time chose not to go back up and levy the full amount that was reduced. The local government aid was reduced.
What is the maximum the city can levy?
And at this point, you can go whatever. It's unlimited. There's no levy limits on it. Since 2014, there is whatever the market and the public and the council is willing to.
The only comment I'd made to that is, having been around with the LGA discussions, the legislature is watching what cities are doing this year after they got an LGA increase. Now, it's safe to say our LGA increase didn't even come anywhere close to covering our increase in health insurance. But there is a mindset that if you're raising levies and you're asking the state for more money, and you're raising levies and you're asking the state for more money. So I think that is a question. I think that we'll see what the legislature does this year when they look at it. I think the mindset, too, is that LGA increases were a little late, but we went an awful lot of years without, and so it's not a justification for us with how we come up with the budget, but I do think there's an awareness that the levy increases are being watched this year.
And again, I would just like to make a final comment, if I could, on the non-departmental line item. It's a very large number that I don't have direct knowledge of, so.
Well, and I think the city
health insurance that has yet to be
and the city council has yet to make a determination whether or not they're even going to spend that money.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's a question mark right now.
But I appreciate Steve's comment, because he helped put the budget together, and there are some items in there that he has not had access to. So. Nor have we. So there.
Now, why wouldn't the finance director have access to all that information?
Because it's regarding compensation. And that was the method that was chosen. So. Okay. Any further discussion? What are your wishes? What happens if we don't do anything tonight?
We will.
Well, I'm just asking.
Hypothetical.
Doesn't matter. We
I
will.
Believe. I believe. If, oh, okay.
What do you call it? Irrelevant.
Somebody's going to.
You're talking like a police officer again. Yay!
Get the things done.
If you don't certify, it stays at the same level, doesn't it?
I found a positive way to say that.
Yes. There's always.
No, I don't think so. I think it stays the same.
I would make a motion that we adopt a, is it adopt a levy or preliminary?
Recommend a resolution setting the preliminary levy at.
Yeah, I would make that motion that we set that levy with the amount of $5,924,657 or whatever the number is, approximating to 4.2%.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to present a resolution for the preliminary levy that would include a 4.2% increase. The estimated figure that will be calculated is $5,924,657. Did I say that okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any further discussion? And it is the Finance Committee voting. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
Now. Monday's going to be fun.
Yep.
All right, any further business to come before us tonight? We are going to work on a schedule for meetings and a schedule of the things, additional items that we requested. If there's no other items, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So the next meeting is Monday?
Next meeting, we have our city council meeting on Monday. We'll have our regular finance committee meeting the next week after the regular council meeting.
On the 10th of October would be the next regular scheduled finance meeting, and this budget discussion will be an agenda item from now until December 2nd. So if there are questions or additional information needed before the meetings, please contact staff, and we'll be more than happy to.
So it's a regular.
Is that when we start going through my tabs?
We certainly can do that. That's what the committee wants to do.
Yeah. I would even buy pizza. We'll sit out here at noon. And we'll just walk through it.
All right. Any further?
Monday through Wednesday, of course.
I just have a question. With the motion that your committee just made, when the budget is presented, will the franchise fee be eliminated from that line item?
No. But
not,
all we did was
on the 30th. On the 30th, you will just have.
All this is a preliminary levy.
To make action on that budget?
So we have to take action on the budget as a whole later.
Yeah.
Okay.
December 2nd, you take action on the budget and the
final. Well, you can take action before that as well.
The tentative schedule is November 21st, unless an additional meeting where the council will be invited back to the full council will be invited back again, unless the schedule changes. That is the next. Where the full discussion and a recommendation to go to the December meeting will take place.
What's the deadline for?
This committee could make that motion to make that modification of the budget anytime it wished. They could do that even this evening, correct?
They could.
They could. If you were happy with everything.
Anything
else?
I'm
just pointing that out.
Yeah.
You're
done.
What's the drop dead date for approving the budget?
December 2nd, well, and you got to figure publication and get it in the agenda. And
okay.
So November 21st is, at this point,
tentatively scheduled
for a final recommendation to be formulated by...
From the Finance Committee.
Finance Committee, with assistance from the other council members.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you.